So we are the conscious entity. All is our evolution of all consciousness, or of all love. So we have, everybody wants to love somebody and to be loved by somebody. So what is the best way in the world to love? We love others, the result is he gives love in return. Sometimes we are losers, sometimes gainer. So Kabir says, if you love, have a game with God, game of love with God, how will it stand? You won him, he's yours. If you are defeated, you are him. In both ways, you are gainer. Isn't that? So strike love with God, or the God in man. God we do not see, but God in them we do see. Once it so happened in satsang, some man stood up. He said, he was devotee of the master, he said, you want to see God? He stood up. I'll show each one of you. He says, they're wondering what is it? Here's standing. He happened to the master sitting there, our master. So those who have love in them, by Nandalal, a very fond lover of the Guru, he, the one poem of Hafiz, he says, if you want to meet God, what you should do, go to the, leave all hearts and home and go to the wilderness. There, remember and love him. And in return, what Sai Nandalal said, look here, oh Hafiz, where are you going? Here the God standing. Where will you go? So if you take the God with you, all that with you, who desires in your hearts, in you, when initiates, why not love is there? So love knows service and sacrifice. This is what I mean to say. Masters come here to join all in the silken bonds of love. Guru Arjan, you will find what he did. He compiled as many things of the masters as he could lay hands on in one book, which is a scripture called Guru Granth Sahib. Those who are, you know, God manifested, they are sent by God to guide the child humanity, whether in the east or the west, wherever it is. He compiled all the things in one book. Whereas you will find the things of one particular master, you always find in their book alone. Is it not finding them in the silken bonds of love all in vain? So the point is, if you have a ruling power for ruling love for God, where will you go? First go to God. If you got the ruling power, love for the world, you will come back again and again. So once it so happened that Moses was passing where one shepherd was sitting with his sheep around him, and he was praying, God, oh God, if you are hungry, you had come to me, I would go give the milk of these sheep to drink. If you had cold, then I would have woven the woman. I mean, the wool from the sheep and given you warm clothing. He went on his love. Love knows no law, you see. Whatever is expressed from the heart of love, they don't carry any pinching effect, you see. They appear to be sweet. Little child is there, he suddenly slaps you on the face. Do you feel love for them? So Moses passed by that. Oh, heretic, what are you talking? Can God drink milk? Would he wear your clothing of wool? Even the sweet members of God in a reverie like that. He cried, oh God, I have disrespected you. While crying, he went with down within. God met him, look here, I will drink your milk also. I will have your clothing, you give me also. He was satisfied. When Moses went and sat in meditation, God appeared to me, oh man, I have sent you to unite all in my love, not those who are already in my love, to take it away from them. So this is the what all Master give us. Now Master has been giving some examples how should we love God. Guru Amar Das, you see, he got sat at the feet of his Master after 70 long years. He says, how should we love? Gives us some examples. That is just there one, you see, kamal, which is grown in the water, you see. On the leaf of the kamal, the water, the more it is, you see, overflow, water in streams and overflowing, the more that plant grows more. He says, in the water, you see, those are born in water just like fish. They live in the water. Once you take away from the water, they die. They never suffer separation for a minute. He says, we are in the ocean of life. God is life saving. We are like fish. We say, where is God? Although that very God is our own sustenance, support of our life. So, the fish is in the water, cannot live without water. He's got innate love for water. And God is innate in us. We should love God. How can we live without it? Our love is directed outside. If little we direct that way, we will drag like anything. The milk and water is mixed. Water and love for the milk. The more you put in, the more the same color it takes. But when you put it on a boiling pot, the water doesn't allow milk to be burnt. It first allows himself to be burnt. Something like that. You can love no service and sacrifice. Anybody with whom you are love in the world too, you like to sacrifice everything for him. The more in love you are, the more you sacrifice. Love means giving. Service. So we should, what should we do? We are man. This is the condition of those who sit at the feet of the Master. They have some contact within of God. You dwell like that, you drown like that. Pity it is you don't find time to come in contact that for a few days. Even you will find you will be dead like that. You will forget him and he will never forget. You do your practices regularly, what it happens? That God in His present power, the music of the spheres begins to be audible without closing your ears. You may go on with what that goes on singing. So this is the way to love. What? Love knows service and sacrifice. If we put in an ounce of love in our homes, generally our homes are not happy because we do not put in love. An ounce of love there. Love knows giving. If wife and husband foreign citizens. Their love for another, why all this? You respect, both should respect for each other. Both should sacrifice their interest for the love of one another, because God is united. That makes us home sweet, at peace. You put an announce in our societies will be at peace. If you put an announce of love in our country, there will be all peace, no wars. So love is the panacea for all wills, of all ills, I guess, of the day. Whether the physical, whether of the beyond, of this world, of the other world. So Master talks, sometimes doing direct, sometimes they give by way of parables. There is one parable given in the Bhagavad Puran. He says, Lord Vishnu invited, gave a feast to all the gods and goddesses, and those who were not gods, they got that. The feast was served, and God came and they sat in the rows, both gods and the others. The Lord Vishnu stood up and said to all, look here, this all this is for you. Eat to your heart's content. But there is one condition you should observe, and that is what it is. Don't bend your elbows to eat the food. You bend your elbows only, the food reaches your mouth, is it not? Those who are, you see, on that side, they say, you know, how the food you can eat without bending our elbows? They could not come to some understanding. They left this place in disgust, that Lord Vishnu has made a joke of it. He'll place the food, it is not let us eat the food. They went away, and the gods were there. They were thinking these are the words of the Master or the Lord Vishnu. There must be something behind it if you don't follow. Then by little calm consolation, if you came to know, oh yes, it's very easy. How? This is my food. Don't bend but give to others. Straight up, like that. So the result was, everybody was fine. Everybody you make other seat, then Gandhi will left here all alone. So love knows giving. If we want to give, we have love, we must learn to give all life. And if you make others happy, you will be happy. If you torment others, you see everybody bends his elbows and everything for his own self, let it strike. The prison houses are full, the courts are full, only for that. You simply don't bend to yourself, but let others make them happy, make them fed, make them easy life, all in life. You be also enjoying the same. So love knows service and sacrifice. This is what we have followed. This is Kabir says, so long as you got your body, give, give and give. So, what is all this? How it comes, as I told you? It is innate in us, but the only way is to love is to come in contact with somebody who is overflowing with love. By radiation first you will get. Free. You may not direct hand is received by validation, you will have it. And if you direct your attention, you give it one pile of perfume, contact within you, then it is there anywhere and everywhere. So this is had by, but by radiation, you see, in the company of those who are loved. That is why it is said in Bhagavad Puran, Bhagavad Gita, you may be performing all these outer practices of aparamidya, which relate to the ongoing faculties, mind and intellect. Without doing that, going to pilgrimage, performing certain havanas, singing, reading, you see, doing japas, penances undergoing, he says you won't have God so fickle as you will come in the feet of a, in the company of a saint. One is only just, you would like to have the fire by rubbing stone with stone, you see. One you will have fire burning, you can have a little freak. So master come to give something, you see. And that is what they give? Their own life. What is their life? Jiyadan. Their life is what? God. God is manifesting them. They are world man, flesh. And world has got two aspects, light and sound. This is Jiyamos. Everybody gives to any man, anything. But how many there who give their life? So master gives their life, you see. What? In the shape of light and sound. You'll be exhausted? No, he's in the contacted with the perennial source, God. So that cannot be exhausted. You see? So that is the real, that is why master says, all master, east and west, Christ also said, others in the east also said the same thing. This is God, I am the God of life. This has come down from heaven. Whosoever shall partake of it shall have everlasting life. How to drink? How to eat? One thing said to his disciples, eat me and drink me. Is it what he said? The people are wondering what he said. They forgot that first he said, I am the bread of life, I am word made flesh and dwelling amongst you. So eat me and drink me meant the word in him which he has given you. So that is the bread of life and water of life which he comes to give freely to everybody. So that the man may be withdrawn from the outer enjoyments, because it is mind having control over the soul, redirects it to the world, you see. Mind requires going into expression. It is the, of the same thing as that acquired of negative power. It always takes you into expression, not to see. So if master gives that taste which mind once has it, he is withdrawn from outside. You remember the one Samaritan lady was going around at the pitcher of water full over her head, and Christ wanted water from her. She, out of complex feeling, from inferiority complex, did not give, because he belonged to the higher class, higher and lower. And Christ said, had she given me this water to drink, my thirst would have been satisfied. But that would again come up. He said, had she come to me, I would have given her the water of life, which would have satisfied all thirst forever. So, for the body, the outer eating, drink is the food which gives strength to the body. To the intellect, we have got all learning, reading, writing, etc. That gives food to the intellect. And what is the food of it? Our soul. Our soul is conscious entity. The food of this can only be what is conscious. That is the bread of life, which is called word, which is called nam, which resides in every heart. When you draw our attention from outside and from the body below, take it up to above these outgoing faculties, which end at the level of the eye, there you get that water of life, that nectar of nam. This is what they come to give freely to everyone. This is their life, you see. Only what for? So that the children who are here, they go back to God. Their only mission is like that. People come to the world, you see. In a prison house, they say, one man came up, Red Singham. All right. So master come, you see, their only job is to take back children of God back home, that's all. Other incarnations come to punish the wicked, to uphold the righteous, and let the world agoing. But master come, you see what Christ said, I have come to separate daughter from the mother, wife from the husband, sister from the brother, and so on. I have not come to make world happy, just the words. I have come to take all these back home. This is the job. Who sends them? It is God alone. We are all children of God when this God sees we are misery, we are not happy. Then he sends his men, go, fetch back my child back home. Guru Arjuna says, whosoever, the God who has sent us in the world, when he sees us in trouble, in misery, then he sends his men to bring back my child. Tell them, their seat is here, their throne is lying vacant, come let them enjoy forever while they are growing in the world outside. So masters, if the wife is away from her husband, at his father's home or elsewhere, separated from the husband, and she has very respectful life for her husband, even separated, she loves her. Then after all, husband will remove her. He will send me all a call as well. So any such man is comes up, what should be? Wife do, she should look to nobody else, go straight up to her husband. Because her husband is calling her. Similar things, you see. When any master like that is sent by God, he sends to us, then it is God calling you back. Follow him, go back home. Don't, what he says, keep his commandments. What he does, he say, we have to leave this world someday. All have left and we have to leave. There is no exception to the rule. Man body is a golden opportunity we have got in which we can go back home. And if somebody has come to take you back, then what you should do? Hurry up. Just be ready to go. So they come only for that purpose. They've got no personal motive in it. They simply come to as ordered by God, of course. So mind body, this is the way to love. Love is tagging of the heart. Just like a water, fish and so much is the example. This is, love is also innate in ourselves. But that is being just sent to the world outside. So in mind body, if we are trying to dwell love for God, you are blessed, then that will become ruling passion. You will go to the feet of the God, to the lap of the God. But we have missed it. We have that very love dwelt with God. We dwelled outside. The result is, ever since we have been separated from God, we have not gone home so far. So this is a high time, present mind body which we have got. Master, come, wake up. You are drowsy. You have forgotten yourself, you are under some intoxication of what he said, forgetfulness. Wake up, it is a high time for you. If you won't wake up now, man, body, the time to wake up. If you won't wake up, then when would you wake up? Time and tide waits for no man. And those whom God has sent up, somebody, they've sat at their feet, they want something to start with, they should not delay. Others who have not got it, that is their fate, that's another thing, but they, those who have got it, they should have to go away. So, God is love, way back to God is also true love, and what is way to love, that is only pity, calling or having company of those who are old from love. By reading, writing, other things, true love cannot work. You see, whom you have not seen, you have not seen that, how can you love it? And we are playing game with the world, you see. Why not play game with God? If you defeat him, you become him. Yes? And you win one him, he becomes yours. Both hands, you see, you get the boon, you see. Such a man, while living in the world, is not of the world. Take the example of anybody. He is in love with somebody. He is sitting in thousands, but his whole thought is there. Emerson, when he wanted to go to a seclusion, secluded place, he would like to go to an inn, which is on his come and go. Because here in the hotels, you see, 100 come and go, you are not cared for. So, real seclusion is in itself. Mind your own business. The work you have begun, go on with it. If you succeed, you have won. You made the best use of your man by the. Otherwise, you are dwelt in love for the God, preparing for you again to come back. Our master used to give one example. Man was in the prison. His term of prison was being over. The day he had to leave the prison, his term was over of punishment, he told his neighbor, look here, keep this thing with you, I'm again coming back. This is what you do. In man body, you see the highest ideal before it, you can go back to God. Remain in your social body, that means also. It is a question of the heart, not the head alone. You go where your heart is attached. That way to love comes from the society, to the company of those who are all full in love, just like a scent flower, scent cellar. In the radiation, you will have perfume free. And if you give you one pile of scent, what more do you want? Your partner, you have got, most of us, you were sitting, they have got some pile of love of scent too. Contact with him, with it, your partner. Dwelt it. Make the best use of it. So, God is love. Love is God. and lay back to God in love, and this love is boosted in the company of someone who is powerful. That's where to love. That was the subject to God. So this can be happened.
Good evening. Welcome to the satsang for Master Kripal Singh. That was the last half of the talk titled The Way to Love. Master gave the talk on 28th October 1972 in Chicago. Our reader this evening is David Halliburton. Hi, David.
Hello, Pradeep, and hello, everyone. This evening, I'll be reading a pamphlet that almost all of us know well. It's entitled Man, Know Thyself, and it's generally one of the first things we read after becoming interested in the path of the Masters as taught by Master Kripal Singh. This is from a talk he gave, and the pamphlet starts out with a quote from a poem, "Kind hearts are the gardens, kind thoughts are the roots, kind words are the blossoms. Kind deeds are the fruits. Since the beginning of creation, when the first flicker of self-awakening dawned on man, his attention has been more and more concerned with the problem of his own worldly existence and the investigation into the cause and source of all creation. For ages, he has probed and queried in vain. But now at last, his increasing thirst for knowledge is turning him to study the results achieved by others in the field. Ancient and modern sages asked, what is that, the knowledge of which makes everything else known? And in the same breath replied, knowledge of the higher self, the true man. So the supreme knowledge is that which deals, both in theory and practice, with man's true nature and his relation to God. It is, in fact, a natural science without hypothesis, subject neither to change nor time. In ancient India, it was called Paravidya, science of realized truth or science of the beyond. And different denominations sprang up to interpret this knowledge. The term apravidya, standing for preparation for achieving the knowledge of paravidya, was then introduced. This preparation consists of following an ethical and moral life, and the practice of concentration or meditation in so many ways, both being indispensable for spiritual development. Man is constantly changing or introducing new names and terminologies to describe this science. The masters were called Sant, and the nature of knowledge, Mat, thus giving us the term Sant Mat, which at present is mostly used to name the path of the masters. Other terms, such as Shabd Yoga, Surat Shabd Yoga, Sehaj Yoga, are also used to describe the same science. In the Sanskrit language, the word Sant means a master of the highest order, and Mat is a confirmed opinion or statement made by an adept after personal experience. The foundation of this science, therefore, is the result of critical study, minute investigation, and the lifelong personal verification of facts based on practical experience of the self in man. This experience of the self is something that a competent master is prepared to give to each individual who approaches him. Sant Mat, therefore, is the teaching system and path of the saints. The masters do not attach any importance to names, designations, or the fact that many religious sects, groups, and circles have claimed this science as their own and named it after their leaders or founders. They look upon these groups as schools where man, the noblest being in creation, can study with other men as children of one and the same Almighty Father. A master, also called Sant Satguru, has complete mastery of both theory and practice, and is competent to impart both knowledge and experience to all sincere seekers after truth, without any distinction whatever of color, caste, or creed. Any man or woman, whether rich or poor, young or old, sage or sinner, learned or unlearned, who is able to grasp the theory of the science, has a right to acquire this knowledge. The dictionary defines mat as wisdom, but the colloquial meaning of the term is a sect or faith, a group of people holding certain opinions or beliefs in common. Such beliefs and opinions, however, based on stray knowledge and teachings, are not sufficient without the support of personal experience, and therefore the seeker is led astray by mere empty words. Many societies, faiths, and other religious circles have only a legacy of books, beliefs, and theories to offer to those who thirst after spirituality. They conceal their shortcomings and deficiencies behind a screen of warm welcome, an outpouring of technique and terminology, and the liberal use of sayings and quotations from the enormous mass of literature on the market today. Propaganda and acting and posing have taken the place of practical spirituality, with the result that the deluded public is being repelled from sacred books and thoughts of God. Atheism, therefore, is on the increase. To believe in a thing or fact without troubling to investigate it does not in any way do credit to an intelligent man. On the contrary, it reflects adversely on his ignorance or credulity. Any belief not based on personal experience and verification of the facts has little value. The modern man wants a well-defined, clear-cut science, capable of verification by his own experience and giving concrete results. We should therefore try to see and to hear with our own eyes and ears rather than with the eyes and ears of others. Self-analysis. Man is composed of body, mind or intellect, and soul. We are extremely careful to develop ourselves physically and mentally, but understand very little about the soul, which is the power ruling both the body and the mind. Physical joys are not lasting, and there are limitations of body and mind that we cannot ignore. So we must search for the perennial source of joy and peace within ourselves. Self-analysis is the first step in this direction. Many doubts assail our minds at this stage. There is an omnipotent power called God, believed in, worshipped, and talked about by most people. Can we know more about Him? Can we see Him and talk to Him? There is a definite and clear reply to these questions. The Master, in a few brief words, explains, yes, we can see and speak to Him. That is, if we become as exalted as He is said to be. Masters say, yes, and we do not have to wait until death comes, but we can experience it right now. This is in consonance with laws of nature of which we have as yet no knowledge worth the name. All around us, we see and feel that everything, from the tiny atom to the mighty universe, is governed by a law of nature. So, to the profound thinker, there is nothing chaotic, haphazard, or uncertain about this universe and the laws which govern it. To gain any objective, there is a law of nature, a principle and method involved for checking, testing, and weighing the result of our endeavors. So it is, too, in this science of nature, and similar methods can be traced in all religious scriptures by any careful student, though expressed in different words and various languages. We wish to enter the kingdom of God, but how? We ask ourselves. With the help and guidance of one who has himself entered and can guide us there, is the simple reply from the masters. Is it possible? It is a knowledge which is as exact and sure as 2 and 2 make 4, is again their reply. It is not enough to be content with holy books and the singing of praises and hymns. We must strive for the same degree of advancement as the authors of the talks and knowledge recorded in these books achieved. Their experience must become our experience. For what a man has done, a man can do, of course, with proper help and guidance. We should stop at nothing short of this. We have hardly a dim spark of love for him. Will it help to cherish a hope? Is another question asked, to which the saints reply, it is sufficient to make you eligible for the highest science of approach to him. This is a pleasing ray of hope. Oh, if this small spark could be kindled into a flame! Again we say, Jesus and other great masters spoke so lovingly of him. But we are sinners, and there may not be much hope for us in this age. The Master's soothing reply is, no matter if you are the worst of sinners, stop where you are. There is hope for everybody, even in this crucial age. Ages ago, nature provided for us materially and spiritually. Today, the same unchangeable law is operating, and will continue to do so in the future. There is food for the hungry, and water for the thirsty. Nature's inexorable and eternal law of demand and supply always works. It is only through a living master that we can contact the Almighty God within us. In Sant Mat, contemplation of objects or images is not advised, as this is harmful to progress. Photographs of the masters are for remembrance and recognition only, and on no account should we become attached to such external practices. The teachings of the masters. Man making. A man, according to the science of Paravidya, is not entitled to be called a man in the true sense of the word, unless he has full knowledge, both theoretical and practical, of his distinguished position in creation, his several component parts, body, mind, and soul, in order of comparative importance, and of his relationship to the unseen power called God, which is to be achieved while he is living on this earth. He who does not understand this much has not even been introduced to the first lesson, and is yet to begin the alphabet of man. The saints therefore impress upon us the need for man-making. Satsang. When scientifically observed facts drawn from practice and experiment are explained verbally to a gathering by a master saint, it is called satsang, external. This satsang constitutes the theoretical side of the teachings, whereas the actual demonstration given to develop and achieve inner advancement is the practical part, called meditation or satsang internal. Conscientious practice brings fruit within days or weeks, and it is not necessary to wait years for results, though progress also depends to some extent on one's past background. A true master gives a first-hand inner experience at the very first sitting. When the practical side is neglected due to lack of firmness or determination, carelessness or pressure of circumstances, scholars of many religious schools dwell more and more upon theory alone. The decline of the science then commences, and man finds no solace. This is usually the case when a master leaves the body. Adequate provision, however, is made for the revival of this science in every age, when both the positive and negative powers commence their rounds again. The former through the agency of master souls, while the latter works through persons, so-called masters, who lack practical experience or are lost in theoretical disputations. Master souls, though quite ordinary men in appearance, are a great deal more. Just as it is difficult for us to judge a scientist, a doctor, or an engineer until they speak out or display their skill and knowledge, so too we cannot recognize the knowledge and authority of a master until we have experienced the divine power working through him. In this science, there is no secrecy or mystery. The objective is constructive and beneficial to all. And so the saints have torn aside the curtain of secrecy, which usually covers mystic teachings, to make them available to each and every one who calls. There is an unseen power working through the saints. Why this power prefers to remain concealed from the human eye is a question to be asked directly by contacting the human pole through whom this power is working. This is the only medium of approach to this power. If we wish to use electric energy, we must go to a switch or pole which will put us in contact with the powerhouse. The unseen power may be called a sea of love. When we wish to bathe in the sea, we go to the edge where the shallow waters begin, and then say that we have bathed in the sea. Thus, to experience this power and to derive benefit from it, we must go to the only source of contact, a master saint. Life beyond death. Saints say that nature has designed man to leave his physical body at will, transcend to higher spiritual planes, and then return to the body. They help each aspirant personally, and each receives a practical experience, however little it may be, during the very first sitting at the time of initiation. A person who is competent to give a man this personal experience of withdrawal or temporary separation from the body, and who can thus put him on the way back to God, is a genuine master, saint, or Satguru. The heads of different religious organizations were intended to do just this, but we may judge for ourselves their efficacy today. The first-hand experience we receive through the kindness of a real saint is in itself the solution to the problem of death. According to the Bible, unless you are born anew, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So, to be born anew is to leave one's body and enter into the beyond, a transition from the physical to the astral plane. Someday, we have to leave this temporary structure, which, like a building of bricks and mortar, deteriorates with time. There is no appeal to the laws of nature against the death sentence. We fear death because of the agony and suffering which it brings, and also because of the uncertainty that lies ahead in the beyond. We fear illness because it brings us near death's door. So we struggle to live, though we know that our end is certain. No soothing words from doctors, friends, relatives, or priests can bring peace and comfort to our minds at the time that nature's destructive process commences. This is the natural course of things, and we cannot deceive nature. What then is the remedy? There is only one way out of this abyss of despair: to adopt and accustom ourselves during our lifetime to nature's process of the withdrawal of a spirit current from the body while still in a conscious state. This may be done with the help of a master and may be accomplished without any suffering or trouble whatsoever. This is not only a possibility, but is a remarkable fact. Our joy will know no bounds when we come into possession of the secret that has baffled man for so many centuries. We become supermen, having possession of a key to peace and heaven, the life of which we had till then only read about in sacred scriptures. Arise, therefore, and awake before it is too late to put this science into practice. If we observe closely the process of death in a dying man, we see the pupils of his eyes turn upwards a little. Afterwards, they may return to normal, and then he becomes senseless. But when they draw upwards too much, he dies. Life ebbs out via the root of the eyes and becomes disconnected from the ties of the physical body and the sense organs. Knowledge of this process and the method by which we may travel this way during our very lifetime is the solution to the problem of death. No physical exercises are necessary. There are no drugs to swallow and no blind faith to cultivate. The mystery of life and death is solved easily with the help of a master saint, who will give you an experience of the process and put you on the highway to the inner realms. Even when acting indirectly through an authorized agent, he still remains the responsible power. Distance is immaterial to the masters. What is there to be gained by this process? This cannot be described in words. At the time of initiation, the aspirant sees the real light within him, whereas normally the inner eye is covered by a thick veil of darkness. He then realizes that the tradition of the lighted candle found in churches and temples is to remind him of the divine light of heaven within. This light grows to the radiance of several suns put together as he advances on the way. He understands that the unceasing internal sound he contacts within is the divine link called Word by Christ, Kalma and Nida I Asmani in the Quran, Nad in the Vedas, Udgit in the Upanishads, Sarosha by the Zoroastrians, and Nam and Shabd by the saints and masters. In time, he meets the master within, talks to him face to face, and is henceforth certain of his grace, guidance, and protection wherever he may go, even to the other end of the world. With such evident proofs before him, he is now confident of himself and of the science. Only then can he be called a theist in the true sense of the word, and can smile at those who talk of religion as a fool's paradise, a phantom conjured up by crafty priests, and the opium of the masses. He has found a sure ingress through the doorway of heaven in this life, and is on the threshold of viewing, both internally and externally, the secrets of nature. He is truly knocking at the door of heaven, or tapping inside. Words of opposition cannot shake his faith in the science as the master guides him onward. Death becomes a voluntary process. Past, present, and future merge into one, and he grasps the incontestable truth, the essence of being, in the palm of his hand. Liberated from the body, which now appears as a husk without the kernel, he knows that he is soul, an inseparable part of the eternal spirit. And so he presses onward to his original source. The world appears as a dream to him, but under the instructions from his master, he returns to his mundane life, wise and fearless in the discharge of his duties. Preliminary qualifications for an aspirant on the way. Just as in any other science, certain preliminary qualifications are required before much progress can be made. Married life, hard work, or a poor environment are no bar. It does not count in your favor that you may hold a high position or possess immense wealth. Neither does membership in a particular faith serve as a recommendation. Wherever he may be, a man must strive for nobility of character, self-control, and purity of heart. Purity of heart in thought, word, and deed is essential. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. An ethical life is a stepping stone to spirituality, but spirituality is, however, not just ethical living. We must always bear this in mind. We can divide man's life into 1, diet, and 2, his dealings with others. With regard to diet, vegetarianism and abstinence from alcohol and drugs are essential. Thou shalt not kill, and live and let live should be our principles in life. The body is the temple of God and is a sacred place. We are not to neglect or abuse it, but should take the best possible care to properly maintain it. All intoxicants are also to be avoided, as they make us morbid and of shaky consciousness. With regard to our dealings with others, we should sow the seed of kindness in order to reap its fruit. Love and humility are most necessary. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love and all blessings shall be added unto you. Love thine enemy, and do good to them that despitefully use you. God is immanent in every form, and whoever loves God must love God's creation. To love God is to love all humanity. We should also earn our living by the sweat of our brow and share with others. These are not empty sayings, but very wise and sound advice. My time is up. I've been reading from Master's pamphlet called Man, Know Thyself, and we'll continue it and finish it on a future reading. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, David. There were 53 of us in today's satsang. Thank you, Master, for bringing us together so lovingly.
Christ lived before Jesus and after too. Christ's power was the God power which manifested that the human soul of man, Son of Man. We have great respect for Son of Man, a true soul that God was. But that continues forever.